whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he say, "You are my son, this day have I begotten thee"? How are we doing? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, open up your word to us. Open up your word to us, Jesus. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, I just pray that I could pass on what you are saying. In Jesus' name. I wanted to give it a little time at the end to give thankful testimonies. This is the weekend of Thanksgiving. And a thankful heart opens doors. A thankful heart opens doors. I thought I would do traditionally talk about Thanksgiving, but the Lord really put this on my heart, so I figured I should go with this. So what is the object? What is the purpose of entering into God's presence? All kinds of things. But sometimes it's specific to us. And that's what we want to be listening to, and that's what we want to be practicing. I think you could turn the monitor off, my voice in the monitor. Maybe it isn't. I wanted to, Matthew 17, verse 1, this is the transfiguration. What was the purpose of the transfiguration? And sometimes how do we respond to a move of the Holy Spirit? Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, this is very common to all of us. The experience is not the objective, but the direction. The direction received from the experience. And sometimes this is what we do. We have an experience from God, and we document it. We want to document it. And that's what Peter was doing. He was doing what probably most of us do, probably what's been going on in the church world for a long time. And you can see different movements by the experience. And a lot of times, quite often, because of human nature, those movements are stuck. The Anabaptists, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Or the Quakers, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Or Azusa Street, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And something marked that outpouring. And then we documented that. But quite often we miss the point. And they're just, I think, Peter's just being human. But it's interesting what takes place. While he was speaking, do you ever... It'd be like a really important business guy wants to conduct business with 2 other major players. And he brings along his up-and-coming, managers or in his business. And so those up-and-coming managers show up, and these two huge business players in the world are there, and he's meeting with them. And they're meeting to discuss something important. And these guys just go, whoa, whoa, man, can you believe who this is? Can I get your autograph? This is so awesome. I've read about you. And they want to get something done. They're like, uh-huh, okay, well. And then the voice speaks. And in this situation, God the Father, and we know by their response, while he was speaking, Peter's going, whoa, this is awesome. Let's, oh man, I am just, whoa. And his mind is blown because it's a supernatural experience, of course. But we so, because it's out of the ordinary, we're so blown away by the experience itself, quite often we miss the objective. While he was still speaking, I thank God the Father, a cloud overshadowed them. Suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear him, with an exclamation mark. Like, hey, be quiet and listen. And we know that, okay, this is the part I love. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces. Whoa. Something about the sternness of the voice, something about the absolute authority of the voice. What did they do? They hit the ground. Boom. Don't kill me. They were afraid. They just, boom. And they did not look up. Jesus came and touched them and said, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. They did not look up until Jesus touched them. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So, and of course, the metaphor of the whole thing. What was the objective of that? What, John? Today is not yesterday. Today is not 2 days ago. Today is not last week. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. What God the Father was saying was, in him is life. And that life is the light of men. God was saying, you think that in the scriptures, but it's they which testify of me. In the beginning, God created the Word. This is the Word. God the Father is saying, this is the Word that was in the beginning. This is the Word. For a minute, they saw his glory. And Peter was like all worked up about the experience, not what the experience meant. The experience said, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That he is, beyond shadow of doubt, him who has come of old from everlasting. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his kingdom will be without end. The experience said, this is the guy. This is the creator of heaven and earth. And Peter, and what we tend to do as we go, we don't stop and pause. We just get all excited. I had a really cool experience. It was so awesome. And sometimes we are looking for that experience. But God is always speaking and always directing. What's it say in Ephesians? It says, we were created for good works, We were created for doing things which God foreordained, that we should walk in those works, it says in Ephesians. There is an objective of direction of life. I believe the word becomes flesh when we do what we hear. And a little bit of Jesus is manifested when we do, when we shema, when we hear and we do and we act. A little bit of Jesus touches the earth. And that is a miracle. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. I'm not here teaching the word and, oh, well, Frank this or Frank that. What you're to do is to hear the Holy Spirit through. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to me? And he speaks different things in different ways. I mean, I know God can use me. But I'm not too puffed up about it because he can prophesy through a jackass. And I'm not swearing, that's the King James vernacular. You know what I'm saying? But it's the awesomeness of what the donkey said, the changing of history. And why the changing of history? And the profoundness of why and who the donkey was protecting and warning Balaam. No, you can't touch these people. These are the people of God. You know, Balaam at first was dumbfounded that the donkey was talking back to him and wasn't obedient. He was preoccupied, like, well, wait a minute. He didn't, like, immediately go to, wait, the donkey's talking. That's not normal. No. The experience is not the objective. Directed action is the objective. When you have an experience with God, there is a directive that is being imparted. Because when we respond to that directive, that's when the word becomes flesh in us. See, we don't understand who we are. The scripture says, Psalm 8 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visits him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. That's a lot of authority. Malachi says, we're to discern between those who serve the Lord and those who do not. And he will spare us. Why do we discern between those who serve the Lord and those who don't? Because the ones who serve the Lord are showing the way of salvation. What did Jesus do when he lived? He heard and he obeyed and he showed the way of salvation. He rightly expressed the name of God. What was the name of God? The name of God was definitions of his character. I am the Lord who heals. I am the Lord who saves. I am the Lord who delivers. I am the Lord who provides. I am the Lord that is. I am that I am. So when this thing happened, and I just go every day, it's the preoccupation, Brother Lawrence, of saying, Lord, here I am doing this. What are you wanting to speak to me? What are you wanting to speak to me? What are you wanting to talk to me about? How can I hear and do? When we get excited about this, we're just preoccupied with doing fun stuff. You know, we're not trying to not do bad things. We're preoccupied. We're preoccupied with the kingdom, with fellowship, with worship, with praise, with being in the Word. We're preoccupied with his presence. Years ago, we talk about worship. We talk about David's tabernacle here a lot and power of praise. And it really is the tabernacle of praise is not worship, necessarily. We are trying to create an environment where God will inhabit the praises of his people. But we can't lead anyone in worship, not really. Worship is something that you do in your heart. We can provide an atmosphere, do our best, and we can be worshiping with all our hearts ourselves. But we can't really bring anybody there. That's an individual thing that you choose to go. We can invite. We can say what we know about it. We can give testimony of what we've seen and heard. But it is the tabernacle of praise that God inhabits the praises of his people. And some will just come in and come out and not notice that there is a whole other dimensional world where there is power, there is energy, and there is healing, and there is restoration, and there is pick me up when I'm down, and there is lift up my weary hands when they're sluggish. There is energy and power for all of that. And many of us at times, and on any given day, all of us, some we just miss it. So what is the Lord saying to me? And I think, when I felt the presence of the Lord this morning, I think we should just burst over. We should just be like bubbling over. And I don't know what it is. We've got this thing of timidity that we like, oh, I do it. We all do it. Well, I'll defer to... That was bold what Stuart did. Kind of like, oh, no, now he's going to get all Pentecostal. You know, somebody's thinking. But you know what? A primal scream for Jesus is awesome. It feels good. Yeah. But that's why we just go with it. We can what? We can do what? We can be kids. It's like, yeah, and the enemy flees. He hates the name of Jesus, so how can we go wrong? What can be wrong about shouting Jesus? You know? And yet, he's kind of like timid and going, and we all do that. Well, I don't know, but maybe, you know. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. We are new creatures, man. We are big and bad. I know, and you know, I've always wondered that there is that concept where some people are just always quiet in church. But man, you get them in front of a football game, whoa, they're shouting and yelling and screaming at that TV or in the stands or whatever. They got it, you know, they got a little passion going on. We can read the scriptures, it's human nature, and miss it. We can be singing songs and miss it. You know, years ago, there was this, in the ministry that I was in, there was a worship team that did Davidic. You know, they did more Hebrew style, and they were going all over the place, and everybody was, if you had them come to your church and lead worship, it was awesome, and just this, you know, big, awesome experience and everything. Well, and they were being kind of, they were getting into synagogues even, because they were doing a lot of the old, bringing to life the old, like we bring to life hymns. They were taking synagogue songs that were about, you know, about the Lord, like Hine Mato, we sing that, behold how good and how pleasant it is, singing what they actually mean, and they were getting invited to synagogues. Anyway, so it was a big deal to have this band come, and they were like the personification of David's tabernacle. And come to find out, there was some just really immoral things going on within the band. After a while, we discovered, and it was like, it really shook people up. I know the leadership in our church got really afraid of worship because of what took place. And the concept, that what came up was, out of that was the idea, well, can we worship? Is what's happening that we are worshiping the experience and missing the point? Yeah, of course we can. Humans have been doing that kind of stuff forever. Well, we just want that feeling to happen. So we want that band. And some people just, even so, they refuse to believe it. And they just, well, it doesn't matter. They have a gift, so we should. And I think that the gifts do not trump the character. The character trumps the gifts. But it really shook up those of us in the worship leaders and worship leaders, worship leading in throughout the whole ministry. It was kind of an international ministry. It got really set on worship wasn't, the praise service wasn't important. We're like, the whole leadership was going, well, man, we got to watch these guys. These guys that play guitar and sing, they're weird. And it just totally swung the wrong direction. And the point is, it's real simple. Something happened to where people were worshiping the experience. And this is what God was saying in this passage. Look, He is it. God, I have given Him a name that is above all names. I have highly exalted Him above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. This is He of whom it was spoken. This is Messiah. Hear Him, listen to Him, listen to what He says, and imitate what He imitated. He heard and He did. That which I see my Father do, I do. This is biblical Christianity. And what are we lacking? What am I lacking? Am I lacking anything? No. The right answer is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Courage? Yeah, we see ourselves, we look at ourselves. The Bible says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Why is that? Well, you know, it's like, well, can anything good come out of Crosby? I mean, I know Crosby. What about Dale Kesey? Can miracles come out of a goofy guy? See, that's the miracle. That's the awesome miracle. It's like, I don't know how it works, but it does. God takes normal people that are puny in their own eyes, that are small in their own eyes, the lesser things of the earth, the foolish things of the earth, you know. They're grasshoppery in their own eyes. Is that a word? And makes them the head and not the tail. And gives them the power of the resurrection. Gives them the keys of David. Gives them the keys to eternal life. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And He'd give us power over scorpions, power over serpents, power over demons. And think of our weapons of warfare. I mean, what cracks me up is that God made our weapons. It's like, you know, war seems ugly. You know, boom, boom, boom. You shoot people, they die. You know, or you are in war and you get shot and it hurt. It would hurt. I've talked to people that have been shot. It hurts. Huh? But our weapons, which are mighty through God and the pulling down of strongholds, are like sitting down and having dinner with the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Our weapons, what are mighty, that freak demons out, we get a guitar out and we sing a song. And somehow the fixed gaze on Him creates a fixed light beam back. Light happens around me and demons freak. They don't like that. They don't like the light. And then now the guy knows what happens and he's starting to sing songs and rebuke the devil when he sings. Light happens. So Lord, open our eyes. Open my eyes. You know, go tell it on the mountain. We need to go tell it on the mountain. We need to get rid of anything. Religious weighs us down. Religion says, well, you're not living up to what you should be doing, and you're not really a very good Christian. Wow, that was a really intelligent demon that said that. Sometimes you make huge mistakes.
Oh, wow, that's a revelation. I didn't even know. Whoa, are you so smart?
Well, that's the miracle. He takes imperfection. God speaks of those things which are not as though they were, and then he brings it to pass. How does that happen? I don't know. But I want to experience more of it. I want to experience more of that. I know when I'm playing my guitar and I'm singing, I just feel like, I feel like Rocket Man. I just go, yeah, Jesus. But I feel there's something in the spirit world that I'm just busting things loose. I'm the man. You know, there's nothing good in me, not in my flesh. But God's using me to rebuke something, and then I experienced that power. I had a dream like that. I was so full of the Holy Spirit, it lifted me off the ground. And I prophesied, and I said one word, live. And it was like I shot a cannon out of my mouth, out of my mouth. And there were all these thousands of dead bodies. I think they were dead. Maybe they were comatose asleep. Anyway, I don't know. And the irony is, I'm like, I don't know. The Lord asked me one question. And in the dream, I'm like, I don't know. That was my response. And I don't. It was just totally honest response. But I got to be part of that. You know, I got to be part of that. And I've experienced that anointing sometimes. I've never experienced it quite that powerful where it lifted me 10 feet in the air and I went, yeah, get it on, brothers and sisters. That's my paraphrase of what I said. I actually just said live. But the power, what, John? Yes. I call those demon dreams. And usually when the enemy gets, he panics that you're treading on something. You're making breakthroughs. So he panics and so he goes, bah! You know, he tries to blindside you. He goes, boo! You know, because he works better in deception. Stop it. I have to separate you guys. Okay. Oh, I know, and it's instant. You go, Jesus. One time I had I had a dream that I was preaching. I got invited to preach somewhere, and there was about 150 people in the room. And it looked like an old veterans hall type thing. And anyway, so I got up to preach, and everybody they fell asleep. They're like, like, dude, I haven't even said a word and you're asleep. And then it was so weird. And then this guy is coming through double doors like that. He's going, and he's snorting and snarling. And he's coming through and he's totally demon possessed. And he's coming to kill me. I know he's coming to kill me. And then I get, you know, if you've had these dreams, you get stuck. You can't quite say the name. They don't want you to say the name because the name. Anyway, so I'm like, and I said, Jesus. And it's like he got hit with a cannonball right here in the middle. And it blew him through the doors. I don't know where he ended up. That was the end of the dream. But when I said Jesus, it just shot him through the doors. And a lot of times these wear you out. And anyway, so when I got rid of the demon, everybody went, they woke up. And I was exhausted from the spiritual battle. And then I said, you guys need help. And they got mad at me. And I walked out. I don't know what all that meant, but it was a spiritual battle I was engaged in for different reasons. Anyway, I used to, now here's a testimony about demon dreams, is that the last three that I've had, I was the aggressor. Something has changed in my spirit to where I immediately attack. As soon as it's revealed, I get angry instead of afraid. I used to get totally terrified. Just like, and be trying to say the name of Jesus. And one, if you've ever had, a lot of times it's real common, you'll be being strangled. And you can't breathe. And then you're trying to get the name of Jesus out. But so I know that, but we are the head, we are the tail, not the tail. It's true. We need to embrace it. It doesn't matter how small or big you are in your own eyes or how much you think maybe I can't do anything for God. We got to change our way of thinking. It's not about our ability. It's not about us. It's not about what we can or can't do. It's about what a living God can do through a yielded heart. That's it. We just say, yay, Lord, the promises of God are in him. Yes, Lord, I agree. Yes, Lord, I agree. Can't do it without his help. It's impossible. Well, the other thing is that we begin to understand that that feels right. Doing good, loving mercy. It feels better to have mercy on someone than it does to hit them. You know, if I hit somebody because I'm mad at them, I go away, I feel bad. I just, bam, you irritate me, so I hit him. I'm going to go away and I feel bad. But if I go, okay, he does something that annoys me, I go, well, you know what? I do annoying things sometimes too. Bless you, brother. That feels better. Now, that was metaphorically. I don't actually hit people. Yes. Embrace it. When I am weak, that is the reality. See, we think we have to like feel the energy to do something, and it's sometimes we just move forward out of total weakness, and we're like, and then it changes. Once we do something, there's some kind of synapse between heaven and earth. Something happens, and we're imparted to. Go ahead, Stuart. I think as they thought back on it, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they understood what it was for. I believe I know what it was for. Because we all get preoccupied with things. We all get preoccupied with the doings of God. We all do that. Moses and Elijah, as powerful as who they were still just men. Yeah. But the question is not for me to mock them and go, what a bunch of knuckleheads. How often, I look at that and I go, oh, Lord, how often am I that knucklehead? I want to quit being that knucklehead. You know, I'm going to make fun of Peter, but Peter is me. And yet, Peter got filled with the Holy Spirit, man. He was an awesome preacher. Awesome preacher. Like, before that, foot and mouth. Every time. Where's my foot? I'm going to stick it in there. You just like sucking on your toes, don't you, Peter? He gets full of the Holy Spirit? Man. He takes the book of Galatians, the book of Hebrews, and says one sentence and surmises all of what Paul taught. How should we lay upon them a burden which neither we nor our fathers could bear? We can't do it. That's why we got saved, guys. So, Lord, we just pray that you open up your word to us. Show us how to not despise the day of small beginnings, not despise small things, not despise small groups, Lord. See how a small group of people over and over and over through the scriptures shook the world. Hallelujah. So open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Not by power, not by any might of our own, but by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.